If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn please to the book of Acts chapter 6. We continue our study of the book of Acts as Jesus is building His church. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 is where we'll begin our study. We're actually going to cover quite a bit of ground today, so I suggest you keep your Bibles open. We're going to go through 6 and chapter 7. Hold your places is what I'm saying. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God as Jesus continues to build His church? Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freed men, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat on the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we need you today. I pray that, Lord, you will fill me with your Holy Spirit as I declare your message. That, Lord, it be not my message, but that the hearers this morning will not hear from me, but they will hear from you. Father, I pray that you'll convict us of our sin. That you will draw us to you. And I pray for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they will walk down this aisle, give their heart to you and their life to you. I pray for those who are saved, Lord, who have grown cold. Pray that today they will renew themselves in you. I pray for those who need to be baptized and take their public stand for you. I pray that today they'll make that commitment. For those who need to come for church membership, I pray that today they'll make that commitment. I just pray, Lord, that you will move in a mighty way among us so that when this service is concluded, all men will know that they have been in your presence and that they have heard from you. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is building his church. Do you know what this is? When I was growing up, now if you're, you know, probably below 40, you don't have a clue. Saying, I don't know, big bucket, right? But when I was growing up, by the way, this is called a butter churn. And when I was growing up, we had a milk cow. That's right. Milk does not come from a jug. It comes from a cow. We had a milk cow. And we would milk this cow daily, and we would bring the fresh milk into a churn like this. And actually, the one we had was a ceramic churn, kind of yellowish, and is about 3 or 4 gallons, I don't know, set about that tall. And you see the handle, that handle goes down in that churn. And we would pour the milk in that churn and put that handle, put the top on, and put that handle inside the churn. And we would sit there and go like this for hours. Actually, it seemed like hours. It wasn't that long. Up and down, up and down. Do y'all know, are y'all following me? You know what I'm talking about? My mom would sit there, and when I was a kid, it was funny. I always wanted to churn the milk until I figured out, hey, this is work. Then I didn't want to do it anymore, but we'd sit there for a long time, and we'd churn that handle up and down, up and down. We'd pound that milk, and a wonderful thing happened as we would pound that milk. Butter would start to appear. I know it's magical, isn't it? Butter would start to appear and adhere itself on that handle and rise up to the top of the milk. And let me tell you something. I am very serious when I tell you. We would take that butter and we would put it on my mama's cornbread and I would melt. Oh, that was good. But you know, I got to thinking about that in preparing this message and how that you got to beat milk, agitate it to get the good stuff out. Then I got to thinking, you know, that's a lot the way it is for the child of God. A lot of times we have to be agitated or churned, if you will, to get the good stuff out. And that's what we look at today with this man called Stephen. He was described as a man that was filled with faith. A deacon. And this deacon in the church, in the last week we talked about, he was one of the seven that was ordained to fill that office of deacon in the first church. And not only was he a deacon, he was a preacher. I mean, this deacon was preaching the gospel everywhere he went and sharing Jesus Christ. And it says he was full of faith and power and did many wondrous signs. That word filled means to be a space that is absolutely fully occupied so that there's room for nothing else. Stephen was a man that was absolutely fully occupied with his faith. There was no room for anything else. He had complete confidence that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he had complete confidence that Jesus had placed him on a mission to declare Jesus Christ as the Son of God before all mankind. That no matter what happened, he could always trust his Savior Jesus Christ and his great God. I mean, this man was a man filled with faith. But the fact is, you cannot keep a faith like that inside. Okay? You cannot hide that kind of faith. But you've got to, on occasion, you've got to churn it a little bit. You've got to agitate it a little bit so that the good stuff rises to the top. And the first thing I want you to understand is faith that is never agitated will be of very little value in the kingdom of God. Faith that is never stirred, that is never churned, will never declare the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, that's the idea here. That's the, as Stephen faces this great challenge before him, God is simply stirring him so he'll slosh out on other people. You know, you may be here today, and as I look, the thought comes to mind, I wonder what people are going through. I don't have a clue. I know what I'm dealing with, and you know what you're dealing with. But do you ever come to that point where you say, Lord, if one more thing happens, Lord, if one more, I've got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Lord, if one more thing happens, I just don't know that I can take it. Lord, if one more thing, if one more bad thing happens in my life, I just quit. Well, see, it's very likely that you don't understand why God has you here. God has not brought you here to quit. He's brought you here to churn you, so that the really good part of your faith can spill out on other people. You're not here for your comfort. You're not here for to enjoy your life. You are here for the glory of God. And I'll be honest with you. When we are at our best is when we are most pressured. That's when we're out of bounds. Honestly, That's when faith really shows. So if there is a churning in your life today, an agitation, if you're thinking, I just don't know how to take it anymore, you just hold on and you realize what God is doing. God is not trying to tear you down. He's trying to put you in a position that will honor and glorify Him as your faith spills out to other people around you. That's what happens to this man, Stephen. A messenger from God. He begins to preach the gospel, and we read how that there were some that disputed with Stephen. That word dispute, literally the Greek word means to argue. You know, some people just like to argue. That's these men of the synagogue of freed men. They wanted to argue, debate. The problem with their argument was they didn't have an argument. You ever known people like that? They wanted to argue, but they didn't have an argument. As they tried to argue with Stephen, it says that they could not resist the message which Stephen presents. That word resist means to stand one's ground. As they would try to approach Stephen, everything they would say, every question that they had, Stephen had the answer, one right after another, even to the point where he made them look very silly. And instead of listening to this man of God, instead of saying, okay, you win. They couldn't win the argument, so they set out to destroy this great man. And they secretly, it says, induced men to lie about Stephen. That word induced, it means to hire somebody to lie, literally. So they hired men who would lie and about Stephen and say that he had spoken blasphemous words against Moses and God and against their holy place. And as soon as someone's religion, you want to make somebody mad, you attack their religion. Right? Whether it's truth or not, you attack what they believe. And they're going to get stirred up. And that's what happened here. These people began to speak these lies about Stephen, how that Stephen was lashing out at their Jewish faith. And of course, the people rise up and say, we can't have that. The Sanhedrin rise up and say, bring that man before us. We'll put a stop to it. And as they brought that man, Stephen, before the Sanhedrin, they brought more false witnesses. They set Stephen in front of that council. And I want you to use your mind just a little bit here. They set Stephen before that council. And they look at Stephen. And it says that the council, looking steadfastly at him there in verse 15, saw his face as the face of a what? Of an angel. Oh man, when you get this, this really stirs you. That they saw this man's faith as the face of an angel. Now, I want you to understand what they saw. They didn't see a man who had wings. That's not what they saw. The word angel means messenger. More literally, the word angel means messenger of God. And so as they look at the face of Stephen, literally what they're seeing is a man of God, and they're knowing they are about to hear from God. Isn't that cool? They see this man and they know what they're about to hear is not the opinion of Stephen, but the truth of Almighty God. They've squeezed Stephen, and now God's about to come out. Question. When you're agitated, when you're churned, what comes out? When you're attacked, when you're lied about, when you're spoken ill of, what comes out? You see, this is where our faith kicks in. And if you'll notice everything, if you read chapter 7, everything Stephen says is the truth. And never does he say, you can't treat me this way. He never does. He just very simply speaks God to these people. When Stephen was churned, his faith came out to the glory of God. Now, very seriously, when people upset you, what comes out? The words that come out of your mouth when you're standing in line at the supermarket and somebody cuts in front of you. Do you say, God bless you? Do you? When you're at home and your spouse and you are having a discussion and you know she's wrong, which never happens, by the way, in my house anyway, what comes out of you? Is it your faith? Is it the God that you say you believe in and trust? Or is it anger and bitterness? When you're in church and somebody doesn't speak to you on that day and they walk right past you without speaking a word and you say, I can't believe they didn't speak to me. Do you look them, hunt them back down and say, you've slighted me? Or do you hunt them down, shake their hand and say, it's so good to see you? What comes out when your faith is shaken? Listen, what I've just described to you are the small things. Here's this man, Stephen, and he's before the Sanhedrin. And they're looking at him and they're seeing the face of a messenger of God so that they know the next thing they hear is going to be a message from God. A message filled with power. Not a message filled with bitterness. So Stephen is brought in front of the Sanhedrin and he's asked the question, are these things so? Is this really true what we're hearing about you, Stephen? So Stephen starts preaching there in chapter 7. And he preaches the history of Israel, beginning with Abraham and the Acts and the works of Abraham. Then he moves on to the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And he talks about them. And he spoke about Moses, who led Israel out of Egyptian slavery. And he spoke about Joshua, who led Israel back into the promised land to take the promised land. And he spoke about David, King David, precious King David, and his son Solomon. And he accurately goes through their history. And all is well. Until you get to chapter 7 and verse 51. And it gets real serious real quickly. Verse 51. Stephen has just preached the history of Israel. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That word stiff-necked means stubborn, right? If you imagine, and it was used to describe an ox that was pulling a plow or pulling whatever, and you know, you'd rein that ox and pull him to one side, and that ox would just stiffen his neck and refuse to turn. So he goes through that, and he gets down to this point, and he says, guys, you have been stubborn in hearing the gospel in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. This is Israel's history of refusing to hear from God. Now in verse 52, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Which of them did they not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Listen, he goes from saying the history of Israel, and right here the word of God is spilling out all over this Sanhedrin as he tells them about Jesus Christ and looks them directly in the eye and says, by the way, you're the ones responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he said, Brother Doug, that sounds kind of bold. It was bold. Very bold. Very straightforward. See, here's what we got to understand. We talk about being loving, gentle, meek, and we do want to be. But listen, when it comes to the message of Jesus Christ, it's the message of Jesus Christ or nothing. Okay? Jesus Christ is the truth. And I believe with all my heart, one of the problems of the churches today is that preachers, more specifically, refuse to stand up and say, there is one name given among men whereby men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are not going to heaven. It does not matter if your name's on the church roll. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much you give to the church. If you've not been born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, my friends, that's what Stephen was preaching to them. He was just being bold and unapologetic for preaching the truth. Never mistake, okay? Never mistake the fact that the gospel cannot be watered down. If you tell half of the truth, the other half is a lie, which means the whole thing is a lie. If you say that Jesus loves you and do not preach repentance, you're leaving out the gospel. If you say it doesn't matter what God you believe in, as long as you believe that there's a God, you're leaving out the gospel. If you say it doesn't matter what church you attend, as long as you go to a church somewhere, you're not preaching the truth. It's time for God's people to boldly stand and declare the truth of Jesus Christ again. That's what Stephen's doing. He's saying, guys, your fathers have killed the prophets and you're following in their footsteps, and the only way to heaven you have crucified. Oh, please listen to me if you're here today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. And I don't know how to put it any more plainly. I love you, and I want you to know the truth. You can be as religious as you want to be, but if it's without Jesus Christ, all you've got is a religion. You can be the best Baptist in the world, but if you're without Jesus Christ, all you've got is a denomination. It's Jesus or nothing. And that's what Stephen is preaching here. And boy, it's not well received either. It's not received well at all, as a matter of fact. Brings us to a martyr filled with the Spirit. If you go on past and read verses 54 through 60, what you find is this. It says, when they heard, they were cut to the heart. Phew. They were cut to the heart. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Now you've got to get this picture. Stephen has just proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. And it says they gnashed at him with their teeth. What are we talking about? Have you ever seen somebody get so angry? They grit their teeth like... Yeah. That's what they're doing. So mad that they can't open their mouth. All they can do is grit their teeth. And they cried with a loud voice. And this is really good. Okay. It says they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Have you ever seen a kid go, na, 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 so they can't hear what's going on? That's exactly what they did. We're not going to hear you anymore, Stephen. We don't matter what you say. We can't hear you, blah, 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 blah. So they don't have to listen to the truth anymore. How sad. But I present to you that that's the way the world is today. In the public arena, if you declare Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the only way to heaven, you watch the resistance you're going to get. It doesn't matter if you're right or not. All that matters is that's not what we want to hear. So you think, boy, you know, and you look here and it says they took him out of the city and they stoned Stephen. And you're like, well, that didn't end well. Oh, yes, it did. It ended very well. Because you read, and what you're going to read here, it says, Stephen standing there, he's outside the city and they're throwing the stones at him. It says he gazed into heaven. And Stephen looked up and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, listen, do you get what's going on here? Stephen has been faithful. He's faithfully declared the Word of God, and people have refused to hear it. They've grabbed him and they've thrown him outside the city, and now they begin to stone him. And God shows up in a mighty way. And the heavens are opened. And Stephen literally sees the throne room of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I believe at this point that Stephen's not going, oh, that's really cool. Ow. Oh, that's really cool. I think all he can see is the throne room of God. He says, I see my Savior. I see the Messiah standing at the right hand of the Father. You ever wonder why he's standing? I kind of look at it as Jesus is giving a standing ovation to the faith of this faithful deacon. Wow. Stephen at this point, he's not hurrying. Can you imagine? Stephen sees that. It's got to be going through his mind. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Lord, can I come? Please, let me come. Please, Lord. And there's never a waver, never a doubt in this man's faith as the churning of the butter would rise from the milk. His faith rises up into a sweet savor before a living Almighty God. Is that not what we're supposed to be? You know, sometimes we get all cranky and whiny and complainy, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Because things aren't going like we want it to. Let me ask you, is your faith spilling out on others in those difficult times? I keep praying. There's been a repeated prayer of mine since we started this study. My prayer is, Lord, grow this church. I truly believe that it's time for Victory Missionary Baptist Church to rise up to the next level. And I believe it's where God, you know, that God is about to bless us. And He's already been blessing us with additions and but you know what I keep getting? What I keep praying? Lord, build this church. Grow this church. I keep getting it's not going to be easy. You see, I'm the type that I like easy. You know? I like easy. That's why when I go to eat at a restaurant sometime, I drive through the drive-thru because I don't want to get out of the car. That's why when I go with people to play golf, I ride in a golf cart. Because I don't want to walk the course. You see, I'm just kind of bent for easy. I want to tell you, there's nothing easy about being a true dyed-in-the-wool child of God that'll declare Jesus Christ no matter who's standing there saying we're wrong. And there will be nothing easy about seeing lost souls saved and the saved grown in faith in this church. There will be people who will rise up and Satan who will rise up, and there will be opportunities for You know, to tear up God's church, what am I saying? I'm saying, buckle up. Buckle up. It may be hard, but I promise you, it is worth it. It will be worth it. I look at, and you know, I'm not saying that one of these days God's going to open up the skies and you're going to see Jesus at the right hand of the Father, but I'm not saying that He's not. What I do know is this, when you need to be encouraged, when you're at your lowest, when you're fighting the battle of faith and you're taking a stand that you know God would have you to take, and you're doing the things that you know God will have you to do, and you get to that point where you say, God, I just don't know that I can take anymore, God will show up at just the right time and lift you up and encourage you. That's what He did for Stephen. Listen, it's not such a bad thing that Stephen died. Guess where he went? He went to the throne room of God. Understand this, children of God. If you are saved, if you are determined to serve the Lord, there will be some churning. And it'll be difficult. When that time comes, when the agitation comes, you just be sure that what comes out of you is your faith spilling onto other people. Let them see the glory of your great God. Let them know that Jesus is the Messiah and He is on His throne. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to offer this to you. Please listen to me, because it's too important to let it go. You're a sinner. I know that's not popular today, but you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. Now, what are you going to do about it? You see, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change the fact that you have been a sinner. You've done some things you wish you hadn't have done. And you have a past. We all have a past. But you've got to know how to deal with that past. And the only way to deal with that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this world. The Son of God lived a perfect, sinless life and went to the cross of Calvary to die and pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary so you wouldn't have to. Let me tell you something. You don't have to die here. You don't have to die, leave this life, not having your sin taken care of. What do? You call upon Jesus. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just call out to Jesus and ask Him to save you. You know, I've heard people say the repeat after me prayers. And, here's what you got to do. You just got to cry out to Jesus, knowing He is the Son of God. That He died for your sins, that He rose from the grave on the third day, and today is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? You have to confess that truth. And you have to give your life to Jesus. You see, that's why God has brought you here today, so that you could walk out knowing that if you die today, you'd go to heaven. Are you saved? If not, will you come during this invitation? Is there another need? Maybe the Lord's calling you to the ministry. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you just need to come down to this altar and spend time in prayer. We're going to ask our staff in just a few moments to be coming up. And if you want a prayer partner, come up here and grab one of them by the hand and ask them, will you pray with me? You can share your prayer burden, or you don't have to. But listen, we're here. Truth is, we're fighting a battle. The enemy's mean, stubborn, and he's hard to get along with. And he's bent on your destruction. Today, I ask you to do this one thing. Listen to Jesus and do what He leads you to do. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You for this example of faith. Thank You, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And thank You that the salvation that Jesus died to provide is available to anyone who will call upon the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd give us hearts to respond. That You'd cast Satan far from this place so that every heart, every person present is ready to do what You're calling them to do. Move among us in a mighty way. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.